Okay, today we are going to be talking about the Lord is my rock, Yahweh Tsuri, and it's Tsuri, a Hebrew name for God. And we're going to bounce around a little bit. We're going to start, we're going to start in Deuteronomy. So, Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. And in Deuteronomy, in this section, Moses is being told that he will die and not enter the promised land, and that Joshua will take over and he will lead them into the land of Cana, right? Cana.
Well, I know there's an N at the end.
Canaan, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for being patient, guys. how often do you say that word, right? Not often. So, God tells Moses in this situation to write a song and then to teach it to the people because God knows that they will turn from him. So it's a song of rebuke, but also saying who God is. And in verses 3 and 4, I don't have my Bible. Let's see. Deuteronomy. Okay. I just wrote down the little section of it, but Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4. Let's see.
Is it 32?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chapter 32, verse 3 and 4. If anybody wants to read it.
Sure.
Okay.
Let me try that again. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he.
Okay. The next verse after that says, they have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children. They are blemished. So it's this song that he wants the Israelites to learn, because this is how they're being, and yet this is who he is at the same time. It's like, this is who I am, and this is who you are. But he, I'm referring to himself as a rock, and that protection, that idea of protection, but he's saying that in a song, but also, like, Moses doesn't actually get to fulfill this promise that was given to him. He has to pass it on to somebody else. The people are going to make mistakes and mess up, and yet still, God is the rock. God is that sure foundation. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 2:2 next. We're just looking at a few different situations where he refers to, where God is referred to as a rock. And then we'll talk about if or what these have in common. So 1 Samuel 2:2 reads this. This is Hannah praying. So Hannah prayed and said, my heart exults in the Lord. This is verse 1. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And in this situation, this is Hannah praising God when she's given a son, right, which is Samuel. And she dedicates Samuel. She tells, before this, she tells God, give me a son and I will give him to you. He will serve you all of his days, right? And so in this, God fulfills that promise. And the priest at the time, Eli, I believe, is who it was. He was making fun of her when she was calling out to God, interestingly. He's like, woman, stop getting drunk and coming around here. Because she wasn't saying words. She was praying in her heart, and she was just there with God when she was crying out to him. And you should leave. And she's like, don't rebuke me. I'm here calling out to God. That's what I'm doing. I'm not drunk. I've had no wine or hard alcohol or anything. But he was rebuking her. Anyway, Samuel ends up to go to live with him, you know, in the temple and to serve God the rest of his days. And in that, Hannah's saying, you are my rock. Right, so fulfills a promise, but she was supposed to go and give Samuel early on, and everyone was going to go and worship God and pray. And she said, "I'm not coming." And they said, "Why not? I'm going to wean my child first. Then I will bring my child when I come, and I present a sacrifice. And so she weaned Samuel first, but that he was a baby. She gave him over to, she was so wanting a child, right? And yet she gave him to God and gave him to be raised in the temple away from her. And yet in her song, God is my rock. So 2 Samuel 22 is our next one. Second Samuel 22, verse 3. This is David's song of deliverance. In verse 1, it starts, David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemy and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence." So with David in this section, David is saying, God, you are my rock, and he's being delivered from enemies that are wanting to destroy him. So we have Moses declaring God is rock, and God is fulfilling a promise to take the people into Canaan, and yet he doesn't get the promise fulfilled in his life, and God even knows in that situation the people are going to turn against him. And already have in a lot of ways. Then we have Hannah giving up her child. God fulfills a promise. She says, you are my rock. And he gives her a child and she gives him back to God. And then we have David who's delivered from his enemies. So next is Isaiah 26, 4. Okay. It's a while since I've gone to Isaiah. If anybody gets it before me, feel free to read it.
Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal.
Okay. Another way it can be translated is rock of ages, which kind of sounds like a rock band.
It's a movie.
Is it a movie, Rock of Ages?
It's a Broadway musical that got turned into.
Okay. So then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. So this is where Paul is writing. And he refers to a rock, and he connects Jesus to the rock that gave them water in the wilderness. And I found this one quite interesting. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I know we're bouncing around a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to do verse 1 through 4. Read like this. "For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock," and here it has it capitalized, "that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, and for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So I was looking up some commentary and how he's referring to it. This is the rock that's Christ, but it's also talking about the rock in the wilderness that sustained them. So this commentary that I was looking at relates Christ to that rock when they were in the wilderness. Because we know that they were given manna. And the rock, as I was reading some things, which I wasn't really aware of, that there was twice where the rock was struck in two different places. But one of the things, so Christ is the firm and unmovable foundation of the church. So that's one connection. Moses had to strike the rock for water. Christ had to be smitten and afflicted as our mediator. So both were hit and struck and then produced life because of it. Water from the rock was cleansing, upholding life and satisfying thirst. Same as Christ for our soul, our living water. And then the rock blessed generations to come just as Christ does. So generations to come were blessed because of that rock in the wilderness, because all the people didn't die and there were generations to come. So it made a way for the Israelites to continue on. And so they were blessed by that life-giving water that 40 years, you know, they were able to have water in the wilderness, and they came to this rock when they were running out. It says that the rock followed them. Some people believe that there was a portion of the rock they took with them. There was no like specific evidence, but that's what some people have believed, that there was a piece of the rock when it was struck, and then they took that rock with them and it continued to give them water. But then it was struck again in Kadesh. So anyway, I would need to research more in that, but that was kind of like the idea that it was continued with them, because where else are they going to get water? They're in a wilderness, right? So it wasn't just like, I hit a rock, we get water, and we're good for years and years and years, right? Like, so there was something that was continuing to provide nourishment, and so is Christ. So in this verse, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Going back, let me see. I don't remember what I was going to say on that. But there was something with, anyway, it continuing on through the wilderness, and now I kind of lost that. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. That's the idea I was trying to come back to. Just as Christ was with them. And so I think it's interesting that these symbols throughout the Old Testament continue to point to Jesus. We talked about Emmanuel before, like God with us, and always thinking in my head, you know, I taught on Emmanuel that Jesus was God with us in flesh, but yet God referred to himself as Emmanuel even before that, before Christ was present. And then this rock, you know, and all these different things that happened to the Israelites pointing forward to Jesus and referencing his life-giving salvation, his sacrifice. And so I found that interesting. So going back to all these, there's a lot of references to God and Jesus as being a rock, and all of the situations are extremely different. So going back, we have Moses singing God's praises and rebuking the people at the same time. David singing God's praises, saying, "You're my rock because you've saved me." Hannah singing God's praises because she gave him a son. And then Jesus being referenced as the rock, referring also to the rock in the wilderness that sustained the people through the wilderness and brought them life. So when we say like rock, what words for you guys, what comes into your head when you think of God as being a rock?
Just like immovable.
Immovable.
Like a rock that's like really like grounded.
What else? Immovable.
Strong. Firm.
Anything, Bailey?
Kind of going back to last week, where, like, consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rocks are hard to break down, and it's a good foundation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was reading one commentary, they referenced something like that as well, that rock formations are very identifiable, right? They're consistent throughout history. And you, like, you think about those rock formations, what are they called? Like those pillars that are like those ancient structures that they use with rocks.
Stonehenge?
Yeah, Stonehenge. You know, and so some of those like become these features, and even like our mountains, even though over time, maybe the mountains change, but like we've got these boulders. People go, "Oh, it's by this boulder," you know, and they were like identifying places, and they were, the dirt might, you know, go away, but like we've got these rock structures that people rely on, and immovable, strong. And you know, relating that to God and who He is and His character, and I like that with all these different situations, the situations are different. It's not just that, like, not all of them were for protection necessarily, right? Some of them were because of promises that He is a rock, that He's a foundation, that He is strong. And I think about our own lives and how God's been a sure foundation, something that's solid, something that's unmovable, something that's strong, you know, in our lives, even when we aren't. You know, those the verse of kind of being tossed around, you know, by the wind and the waves, and we are not immovable. We are not sure and faithful in who we are, right? But he is. And going back to like Moses, I mean, God said, I want, he told Moses to write this song and teach it to the people. And the song was about them turning their backs on God. Teach this song to the people so they will remember this song. You know, so it's like God is correcting them in that, because he's like, this is who you guys are as people, but that's not me. This is who I am. I am not like you, right? And even like with Eli rebuking Hannah, you know, and then God is the rock. Eli is not the rock. It wasn't the prophet or the priest or anybody else in that situation. Excuse me, who was the rock? God was the rock in that situation. It wasn't the army that David fought alongside that was then praised as a rock. It was God for protecting him from his enemies, right? And in the wilderness, this rock that gave them life, that Jesus is the rock, not the Levitical lineage, you know, for priests, not the temple being the rock. It's Jesus. He's the firm foundation. And being able to focus that God is immovable, you know? Like you were saying, Bailey, going back to what Chayton was saying last week. You know, this... what was the specific title of your message last week?
Ancient Days.
Ancient Days, mm-hmm. Yeah. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is solid. I love that God uses terminology that people relate to, right? I mean, these people were in the wilderness. They were out in nature. They understood what a rock was, you know? And they used rocks to build things. I mean, that's what they had, right? And so having an image that we can then look at and be like, okay, God's like a rock, right? And even though your reference is, you know, I am the rock, but it's like we can't fathom really how firm and solid God is, how strong he is. We can't fathom all that, but God gives us all these little things in our natural world to help us to relate to him in the spiritual world, which I think is his grace, right? Because mm-hmm. he wants us to understand, and even though it's still a limited understanding, it still is an understanding that we wouldn't have without those things to relate to. So that is my short and sweet message on God is our rock.